This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
And Stacey Cole, right there, right there, right there. I got to get my aiming right where I'm pointing my hands.
Can we point out something?
Yeah.
I can't talk in great detail about it, but normally there is red behind me and there's now white. And it's not a fake background. It's real. For those of you on YouTube, I'm in a different place now.
She's in a padded room.
Wait. That's not very padded. No. But I feel like I should be.
Yes.
I just haven't been committed yet.
Yeah, your residence has changed.
It has. And while you were on vacation, my life went. Mm-hmm. So I alluded to some of it when Carol and I were doing our stuff, but I have to be a bit cautious about what I say and don't say. But I'm just going to put this out there. It wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything. I reacted to something that was done to me and I went, boom, mama gone.
And luckily, no one's ending up on Dateline. And that's the, or are they?
Moment. Not yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully not. Stefan Stearns, they had a plea hearing today or yesterday, depending on when you're looking at this. This is the monster that killed Maddie Soto. And you may remember there was another character in this case called Jen Soto, who was the mother, who has never been criminally charged. We're going to watch some of that hearing in just a little bit. And you'll notice there's a certain person that's missing from the victim impact statements, and that's Mom. And you may be wondering, why? Well, don't worry, everyone else is too. So I did a little research, and I'm trying to figure this out, as many of us are. Why was Jen Soto never charged in this case? Remember, she was on the interviews early on. Her story never added up, didn't make sense. She was clearly covering for Stefan, and we watched those police interviews too, and she was still clearly covering. And you know, we can go down the conversation of abuse and control and all of that. But at the end of the day, this is her mom. And this is the mom that also said, yeah, go ahead, sleep with my daughter.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
I think that deserves a charge or two. I don't care how stupid you are or how abused you were. If you're saying that out loud, and you're prioritizing your own well-being or your own ego or your own need for attention from this monster man that's sleeping with your kid and you're encouraging it, I don't know that the free world is a place for you. Mm-mm. But again, she's never been charged with anything, and these are the allegations and all of that. But I don't know. I hope the bell comes a-tolling. Despite her proximity to the crime, Jennifer Soto has never been criminally charged in connection with her daughter's abuse or death. And authorities have indicated no intent to charge her. Back in August of 2024, as evidence of the prolonged abuse emerged, local police made it clear that Jennifer was not considered to have committed a crime. The Kissimmee Police Department has no plans to file charges against Jennifer Soto. That's according to WFTV, citing law enforcement sources who said Jennifer had done nothing criminal in the case. I don't know. I think you could, like, watch some of those interviews and go, I think what you just admitted to was criminal.
She was covering for this guy. It's almost as though she knew that her daughter died at the hands of this man, and she knew about it and still did the cover up. You can see her during the interviews. Her eyes are shifting. It doesn't feel right.
Held firm even after disturbing details of Jennifer's knowledge came to light. A spokesman for Kissimmee Police confirmed to Fox 35 News back in August that no one else, this is August of 24, no one else would be charged in Maddie's case aside from Stearns, and that no additional charges were pending. In other words, investigators and prosecutors determined they did not have sufficient grounds or evidence to accuse Jennifer of a crime. Florida law does include statutes that could potentially apply in situations where a parent or caregiver fails to protect a child from abuse. For example, Florida's child neglect law specifically states that a caregiver's failure to make a reasonable effort to protect a child from abuse by another person can constitute felony neglect. I would think this qualifies.
Yes.
In Maddie's case, one could ask whether Jennifer failed in that duty. However, the threshold for criminal neglect is relatively high. It requires evidence that the parent willfully or by culpable negligence ignored a serious risk to the child. Well, I don't know. An adult wanting to sleep in a bed with a 9-year-old daughter, or that's not his daughter, your daughter. The fact that you even said out loud that you were afraid this was going to turn into a Woody Allen type thing and he's going to run away with your daughter at some point, I think that kind of shows you may have had some concerns there, Miss Soto.
You think?
Apparently, investigators did not find evidence that Jennifer knowingly or recklessly enabled the abuse. But then you weren't looking close enough. Jennifer herself claimed to have been unaware of Stern's crimes until after Maddie's disappearance, and law enforcement seems to have accepted, or at least could not disprove, her claimed ignorance. As the police source puts it, she had done nothing criminal in their view. It's worth noting that being a trusting or even negligent parent does not automatically equal prosecutable offenses. Prosecutors would have to prove a degree of knowledge or willful blindness that raises to criminal neglect, which can be challenging. Another likely reason Jennifer was never charged is in her role of this is as crucial as maybe being a witness against Stearns, which we do not know the answer to that. That's the only logical thing I can possibly think of. From early on, authorities treated Jennifer as a cooperating witness rather than a suspect. She was interviewed multiple times by detectives and provided information, albeit with some contradictions, about the timeline of Stearns' relationship with Maddie. Legal analysts speculated that if Stearns' case had gone to trial, prosecutors might have needed Jennifer to testify about what she observed. Charging her with a crime could have made it harder to use her testimony or even prompted her to invoke her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. In fact, one former prosecutor noted that Jennifer would likely require immunity if she took the stand. Otherwise, even if she successfully helps the prosecution get Stefan, they could come after her next. Which would give her a strong incentive not to testify without protection.
Interesting.
We just learned in the last handful of days that he was going to take this plea deal. I'm wondering if she's next now.
I bet you're right. I bet that's exactly what's happening here.
I bet he's taking the plea deal because he doesn't want her to get immunity.
Correct.
And that was a big concern in those phone calls with his parents, the last people on the planet who seemed to give a crap about Stefan Stearns. And I hope that they've washed their hands of their little monster now too. But that was what the mom was all up in arms about. She did stuff. She kept hinting at it in those phone calls and making those allegations. So if he was listening to mom and dad, and we're basing it on the phone calls that we heard.
Mm-hmm.
They probably, I'm going to guess maybe dad, he seemed to be sensible and he knew the writing was on the wall for their son. And it was basically, look, you're probably going to get the death penalty if you go to trial. And you don't want her to walk free. So why don't you plead? And now we wait. I don't know. I wonder if she's about to be charged. Again, she's never been charged with anything. Guilty till proven innocent. Innocent till proven guilty. It works
That's not how it works.
That's kind of how it works in our country a lot of times. But but I don't know. I could see that being the chess game move here that just took place. Could be wrong. She may have been a cooperating witness, and she may have opened up the path to many other arrests as well, people who were interacting. There's possible paths here where she found some sort of redemption in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of society and being a human being and protecting your child, I'm sorry, there's no redemption for you. Enjoy hell.
Well, she had a duty to protect her child from a monster. And I understand if maybe she was being abused in this situation, yeah. It might have been hard to protect both her and her daughter. But at some point, you got to do the right thing. You just have to.
There is no... I'm always baffled by parents when it comes to stuff like this. It's like, if you even hesitated, if you had to even think about it, you had like, you contemplated, let's see here. Do I want the attention from him or do I want to risk my daughter being by him?
And horribly violated, if not killed.
Thinking of this, it's even like a contemplation thought. You shouldn't be a parent. There should, it's just, yeah. You're not quite human.
That child was just a child. She deserved somebody who was going to protect her.
And you didn't.
You didn't.
Let's take a little look-see here at some of the plea hearing. We're not going to go through all of it, but we'll watch and listen to some.
Start at the beginning with the state, please.
Danielle Pinnell.
William J.
I'm going to have to turn on my headphones here because it's coming across the right channel and not the left.
Alicia Smith. Beth Borden.
Peter Mills. Alex Johnson.
He's walking like the
attorneys identifying themselves. And there he is in his orange jumpsuit, kind of slouched over like the pathetic creep that he is.
Makes me scared to get back out on the dating scene, you know?
He looks like an 8-year-old. Just, I don't know, there's a candor about the way he's sitting, and candor is maybe not the right word, but there's something about, but he has mental health problems. We know when he was run over, his head was run over by a truck as a child.
God, so, that's right, I forgot about that.
Named Stephanie, is that representative from the survivor families?
Yes, sir.
Pro tip, if your boyfriend's head was run over by a truck and he relates to 8-year-olds, maybe he shouldn't be your boyfriend.
Stephanie. So admitting. Chris Walker.
It's a good tip, Tony.
The more you know.
Right?
But he's such a nice guy.
I'm serious. The stuff we cover makes me not want to go date people at some point.
Oh, well, there's plenty of reason not to, and there's plenty of reason to.
We'll get there. For right now, me and my cats, we're good.
And we're waiting for the judge to say something.
Speak.
Again?
There we go.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you are about to enter into this case to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God.
I do.
He doesn't have that.
I have two plea forms in my hand.
Raspy
one document
thing.
Looks like this. Second document looks like this. They're each plea forms for your respective cases. They each have a signature. That signature is the same on both plea documents. Signature is next to my finger. Can you tell me if that is your signature?
It's hard to tell from here.
Can you provide these forms?
Yes, Your Honor. Defendant?
They forged it.
Yes, it is. Thank
you. What your signature and a set of initials after each of the 26 paragraphs on each document, those initials being SS, tell me is that you have had an opportunity to read these documents. Do you have any difficulty reading and writing the English language?
I have no difficulty.
With that. The
signature indicates that you are aware of each of the 26 paragraphs and all of the terms and conditions of these two documents. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I have a secondary document. It is an addendum to the plea form. That document is 4 pages long. It appears to have the same initials on the bottom of each of the pages, as well as a signature at the conclusion of the case along with your attorney, Ms. Borden and Ms. Smith. I'm going to ask the deputies to please provide this document to you, and I'm going to ask you to verify that this is your signature.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, it is.
I bet his dad is wishing quite often, if only that truck was a little heavier.
Tony!
You have had an opportunity to read this document, go over it with your attorneys.
If I were his dad, I'd be doing that.
I know you would.
I mean, like, the hell that this of your person put agreement. His parents correct? Through and everyone else.
That is correct.
Yeah, I agree.
Each of the plea we were thinking it,
you said it.
Your trial rights.
It's because it's true. More people should say these things.
In 2024 CF 1293, you are charged with the allegation of first degree premeditated murder. In 2024 CF 632, you are charged with 60 counts. The first 9 counts being sexual battery with a child 12 to 18 years of age, counts 10 through 13 being sexual battery with a child 12 to 18 years of age, counts 14 through 20 being lewd or lascivious molestation, counts 21 through 60 being unlawful possession of materials depicting sexual performance by a child 10 or more images.
Counts 1 through 8 are sexual battery on a child under 12.
My apologies. Counts 1 through 8 are capital sexual battery on a child under 12.
So disgusting.
The plea form contemplates in 2024 CF 1293, 1 count of murder, first degree. Capital offense.
He's just sitting there not moving at all.
CF 632 contemplates counts 1 through 8, 9 through 13.
You can almost see the tread marks on the back of his head.
Tony!
Or maybe that's me just wishfully thinking.
That's you.
With the representation
that is so you.
That the state of Florida
it was a good year.
Is withdrawing their notice of intention to seek the penalty of death upon acceptance of this plea, the maximum potential sentence on 24 CF 1293 would be life in prison without possibility of parole. Has the maximum sentence been explained to you?
Yes, Your Honor.
24 CF 632, counts 1 through 8, the maximum potential sentence would be a mandatory sentence of life in prison without possibility of parole. 9 through 13 would, and 14 through 20 would be first degree felony allegations with a maximum potential sentence of up to life in prison. You understand those maximum potential sentences on that case?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you understand that you have a right to have a jury trial as to each of these allegations? And at the jury trial, the state of Florida would have to prove those allegations against you beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. At that trial, your attorneys would be with you. They are experienced, board-certified criminal expert trial attorneys. They would be cross-examining witnesses, examining the evidence against you. You would have a right to present your own witnesses and your own evidence. If you had witnesses that did not want to come to court, you could have asked me to make them come to court with a subpoena. You could have spoke at your trial, or you could have exercised your right to remain silent and not spoken. That would have been your decision after you talked those decisions over with your attorneys, and your jury would have been instructed not to consider your decision to remain silent in any way in rendering a verdict. You would have had a right to have your trial recorded and appeal any errors that occurred in the process. Do you understand you are giving up all of your trial rights if the court accepts this plea? Because I will be imposing the sentence that you have agreed with the state of Florida to be imposed upon you, and we will not be having a trial on any of these matters. Do you understand those things?
I understand.
And, Your Honor, just for record purposes, counts 9 through 13 are first-degree felonies punishable by life, as the court indicated. Count 14 through 20 are actually life felonies.
These are life felonies with a minimum mandatory of 25 years. Is life a required sentence, or would that be a punishable by life offense?
It's a life punishable by life offense. I just wanted the record to be clear. This court indicated first degree felonies, punishable by life. I just wanted the record to be clear that 14 through 20 are life felonies with 25 year minimum mandatories.
So this plea form indicates that these are first-degree felonies. These are actually either capital offenses or punishable by life offenses. Do you understand that, Mr. Stearns?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is anyone forcing you or pressuring you into make the decision to resolve your case this way?
No, Your Honor.
Has anyone made you any other promises other than what has been presented to you as the agreed upon sentence?
Just some Skittles.
I did.
No, Your Honor.
Oh, God. I'm like, what? What?
Under the influence of any alcohol, drugs, or mental issues that cause you not to understand the decision that you are making?
I am not.
Do you understand if you are not a United States citizen that entry of this plea would subject you to deportation proceedings?
Yes.
You ever before had been convicted of a sexually violent or a sexually motivated offense, entry of this plea would have subjected you to involuntary civil commitment at the conclusion of any incarcerative sentence. Do you understand that's the state of Florida law?
Yes.
Ms. Smith, do you have any competency concerns regarding Mr. Stearns' fitness to accept this plea agreement?
No, Judge.
Ms. Borden?
No, Your Honor.
So that's Stefan Stearns basically taking the plea there. There's victim impact statements that were read after that. But I actually want to jump over here. And the victim impact statements are certainly worth checking out, and they are out there. Like I said, it was noted that Jen Soto was not there. And we were asking earlier, could Jen Soto now be charged since she won't have to testify? The short answer is yes. The door is technically more open now than before, but it depends on the prosecutorial will. There's new evidence, political risk. Nothing legally prevents charges now that she won't be needed as a witness. So that observation was on. Why was the door closed before? Well, to kind of sum that up, why things are different, prosecutors often avoid charging a key witness if they might need that person to testify. And, well, up until about a week ago, they might have needed her to testify. Had Stearns gone to trial, Jennifer could have been compelled to take the stand. If she'd been charged or under active investigation, she could have invoked her Fifth Amendment rights, torpedoing her usefulness in the prosecution. Instead, they likely treated her as a cooperating, a controversial witness. So what's changed now is that deal. So Stearns has pled guilty, no contest to all charges, and is receiving life without parole. No trial now. No need for her to testify. Prosecutors no longer risk losing a key witness. She's not going to be a witness for her own trial if it ever gets there. She's legally expendable now if they choose to act. Bottom line, if they were holding off on charges to protect the case against Stearns, that excuse is now off the table. So yes, she could be legally charged, but it is, like I said, complicated. We talked earlier about the child neglect by omission, and the statutes there makes it a felony if a caregiver fails to make a reasonable effort to stop abuse by another person. And Jennifer admitted to police that Stearns regularly shared a bed with Maddie and that she allowed it. She even told investigators that sex stuff wasn't evil, just the murder. Remember that? Remember that when they were doing a little interrogation and the sex stuff wasn't evil, just the murder.
Yeah.
She was down, yeah. It seemed, with, I mean, I don't know any other way to take that. Maybe not down with it, but it's not quite as bad. Those statements plus the sleeping arrangements could arguably meet the threshold of culpable negligence. Why might it still not happen? Prosecutors already said in 24 and again recently, as of July of 25, they had no plans to charge her. But that July 25 statements were prior to this plea. They may view her as emotionally punished enough, having lost a child and facing public condemnation. They may also worry that charging the caregiver mother would be politically radioactive, especially if jurors wouldn't convict. Unless new evidence surfaces, like detailed text messages, emails, proof she knew more than she said, they may leave things where they are. But they may already have that information. And it may just be in the back pocket. Is there already a petition with thousands of signatures out there demanding Soto be charged? So we'll have to see where that goes, because it's a very real possibility now more than ever. Again, innocent until proven guilty, never been charged with anything.
Mm-hmm.
All allegations, alleged. But there's some things she said out of her own mouth that are not so alleged, that are pretty damning. She needs to be charged. I hope to God she is.
I can't imagine they're going to let her off scot-free, that she just gets to skate on this. It doesn't feel, I don't even know, it feels like a betrayal of Maddie's life, that mom just kind of allowed this to happen under her own roof.
Yeah.
And she just gets to go, okay, I guess I just need to get on with my life.
I'm not going to go for the, she's been punished enough argument. No, no, she's still alive. As long as that's going on, she has not been punished enough.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.